All right. While the boys and girls are being dismissed, let me invite you to turn with me to Titus chapter 1. Hopefully by the time Wednesday night gets here, you'll know right where to go. Titus chapter 1, that's where we're going to spend our whole time this week. Titus chapter 1. Thank y'all for a great dinner, man. Lunch was good. I am fed up. That was good. And I hope that y'all, I know y'all want to take a nap right now. You're probably getting a little bit of sleepy mode. Hang in there. Y'all probably figured out this morning I don't preach real long. So try to give the best of your attention just for the next few minutes in God's Word and let God speak to your heart through His truth. We're looking at Titus, and we're going to kind of pick up just where we left off this morning. We're going to begin in verse 3. Our text for the afternoon message will be verse 3 and verse 4. The Bible says this in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, "But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior." In verse number 3, we see this. We see God's promise revealed and fulfilled through the preaching of God's Word. This is a very important part of the text. Look at verse number 3. He says, "But hath in due times." In other words, it's in God's timing. This is God's plan. It's God's timing now. Okay? Galatians 4:4 says this, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law." What it means is this: in God's plan, in God's timing, God sent Jesus specifically to this earth at a specific time for a specific purpose. And that was to redeem us, so that we, who were in bondage of our sin, could be freed by grace. And He says here now in verse number 3, He hath in due times, it is now, this is God's time, God's plan. Right now it's the church. And now God has a way to reveal to us what He wants us to know. So look back in verse 3, He says, "But hath in due times manifested," and the word manifested literally means a full understanding, "hath manifested unto us," or "hath manifested His word through preaching." When it says His word, this refers to the message of the gospel. This is what God wants us to know. And so He's manifested His word. He is helping us to have a complete understanding of what He wants us to know. And He does it through the preaching of His word. His word, it says, through preaching. Now, stop just for a second. Look this way. I want you to get this. Everything that God wants us to know about Him, and everything He wants us to know about how to have a relationship with Him, everything God wants us to know about living for Him, He has given to us all of that through His Word. And God has now given to us all that we need to live for Him. And He said it through His Word, says through preaching. Now, when He says through preaching, He's talking about the proclamation of the gospel. And this, the word preaching is not referring to what I'm doing, per se, as in somebody standing up and preaching. It's talking about the content of the message, what God wants to be proclaimed. So in due times, God has, in God's timing, God has made manifest or given a complete understanding of His word, the message of the gospel, through preaching, through the content of the message. And He's, look at verse 3. He says, "through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." You see, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. Matter of fact, turn there if you would, just quickly. I want you to see this verse. I don't have people turn very often, but I don't want you to miss this. This is a great verse, to a passage to shed a little light on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, which will be the verse we'll read there, he says this. 1 Corinthians 1:21. It says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, that the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So God's plan is the proclamation of the gospel. That's what he's referring to. God's time. Here's the message that God wants us to know. The message of the gospel. And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, he said, "For I delivered unto you also that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel. Jesus Christ, God, came and became 100% flesh. He was 100% God, 100% man. He lived a sinless life. He died according to the Scriptures. He died a substitutionary death for the sins of humanity, and He rose again, as was foretold in the Scriptures, fulfilling all that God had promised. And He said, that message is really, that is the message of the church. That is what is to be proclaimed. Now, that's not the only part of it, but that's the beginning. The message is the proclamation of the gospel that sinful man, separated from God by their sin, can now be reconciled to God through the glorious gospel of Christ. Now, look back with me, please, back at that verse. He says in verse number 3, it is, through preaching which is committed unto me. Literally, this responsible was given to him by God. He said, look, God has entrusted me with this responsibility. God gave this mission and this message to the Apostle Paul, and it was a divinely given message. It says right there, by God our Savior. Now, I know you're tired, hang in there, but this is a really cool truth. When it says our God who's Savior, another way you can literally translate is the God who saves. God wants to be known as the God who saves. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned. He that believeth not the Son is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is the God who saves. And He did not send Christ to condemn this world, but that the world through Him could be saved. And it's all conditioned on what you do with Jesus. You believe on Christ, you are not condemned. You don't believe in Jesus Christ, you stand in a place of condemnation. Why? Because you've not believed in who Jesus is. You've not believed the message of the gospel. And so it is given by the God who saves. So the God who saves is the one who has given and trusted to Paul this message to proclaim. The message he is to give is God saves. This is the gospel. And that, by the way, he's laying foundational work. That's part of the purpose of the church. Now he says this, if you look back in verse 3, through God our Savior, is focusing on his plan to save. Now look at verse 4. He says, now to Titus. So he's now addressing Titus, who was a Gentile, had a Gentile father, Jewish mother, and he was perhaps, look, if you look at verse 4, he says, mine own son after the common faith. There is a very real possibility that Paul led Titus to Jesus Christ, that he shared the gospel with him personally. And he may be referring to that fact when he says, my own son after the common faith. It may also be this, is it may be because Titus believed the gospel that Paul and Titus had such a close mentoring and discipleship relationship that he thought of him as his own son. And they were very close. What the point of it here is this, is not whether or not Titus got led to Christ by Paul or the degree of the mentoring. The focus here in that verse, look at verse 3, is this, myself, mine own son, after the common faith. What was their bond? Their common bond is Jesus Christ. When it says after the common faith, it is literally the faith that we have in common. It's the person of Christ. Look at me. Do you know what our common ground is? Do you know what you and I have in common? That doesn't matter if you're from South Carolina or not. It doesn't matter not whether or not your dad's an evangelist like mine is. It doesn't matter not whether you like to hunt or fish. It's not our interests. Not our background. It's Jesus Christ. Common faith. You know what? The Lord has allowed me the privilege to go to different countries. Some foreign countries I can speak their language. Some I can't. And it is absolutely incredible to realize what I have in common with people who I don't even speak their language. There's a bond that's there. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. So he says he's reminding Titus of something. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, the faith that they have in common, and their faith was in the very same person. And who is it? Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that really laid out here even in this verse. So he says, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. And then he gives this greeting. Look with me back in verse 4. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, look, this is not just a greeting. Like, we think of greetings, you know, like, where I'm from down in South Carolina, hey, how y'all doing? That is just how you say it. You know, hey, down there, especially if you're kind of in a hurry, we don't say hi, you just, hey. That's, it's just hi. sometimes we read our Bibles and we just, grace, mercy, and peace. Oh, he's just being polite. It's like the introductory greetings that had to be given. No, it wasn't. Here's what Paul was doing. He was marking three things that he desired to be at work in the heart of every believer who shares that common faith. So my question to you is this. Do you have this common faith in Christ? Do you share with the same in the same faith that Paul had, that Titus had, that I have, that's in Jesus Christ? If we do, these things are to be part of our lives. Grace, number one. What's grace? Look, we cheapen grace. It's not just God's riches at Christ's expense. That's an okay acronym, but that barely scratches the surface of grace. It is more than just God giving to me what I don't deserve. It's more than much deeper than that. God's grace literally is God's divine unmerited favor, and more specifically, it is His divine enabling power that works in us, through us, and for us, that which we are not capable of in and of ourselves. See, that's the grace that saves. For by grace are you saved. It's not just God's riches at Christ's expense. It is a divine power that does something in us, through us, and for us that we have no hope in. And that same grace that saves us is the same grace that keeps us, and the same grace that God gives to us in our weakness. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my strength, my grace is sufficient, more than enough for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I therefore glory in my infirmities or my weaknesses, the power of Christ will rest upon me. When it says the power of Christ, that's referring to grace. So we need God's divine power. Look, you need to be living this. You're saved by grace. You're to live your Christian life by grace. So many of us live our Christian lives as though salvation depends on God and the rest of it depends on me. No, it's by grace. You need God's divine enabling power. You need grace to be a godly husband, grace to be a godly wife, grace to be a witness, grace to be kind, grace to be pure, grace for every part of the Christian life. You need God's enabling power. And Paul is saying, look, your life ought to be characterized by a life of grace. God's power ought to be at work in you and through you in each area of your life. Do you know what? The Bible says in James chapter 4, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So when a Christian's life is not being lived by grace, it is because in their pride they are resisting the grace of God. But God says, I'll give you, humble yourself before me, acknowledge you need me and need your grace. I'll give you grace. And so oftentimes we live our lives in our independence, in our self-dependence, and we say, I'm gonna live this Christian life. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna change. I'm gonna be different. I'm gonna. No. How about this? How about Christ is going to? Christ is gonna give you grace. All the grace you need for whatever it is you need in your life is available to you through Christ. And He says, grace. Next, look at the next word. He says, grace. Number two, mercy. Mercy. This is forgiveness, tender, compassionate care. Well, I don't know about you, but I need mercy every day. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Great is Thy faithfulness. We are in desperate need of mercy. You know what? You need mercy. You fail? You ever fall short? Get in sin? Get in flesh? The devil win a victory over you? You need mercy. You know what He says? You need to be reminded that you are in a constant need of needing God's mercy. And you know what? That faithful God, every day, you don't ever drain the resource of God's mercy. It's constantly fresh for us. You need mercy. He says, you need God's mercy at work in your life. And then He says, in peace. Peace, it is a God-given tranquility. It can be translated in untroubled well-being. It's not peace that's based on our circumstance that comes from everything going our way. It's peace that is from God Himself that causes me, even in a trial, to have an untroubled well-being in my soul. It's not based upon whether or not everything's right that's going around me. It's the God of the storm is giving me peace in the storm. It's still raging, but I have peace from Him. And here's the deal. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, being justified by grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how peace with God is from God is possible. Peace from God is only possible if you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's through faith in Christ. So if you have faith in Christ, we have that common faith. That means we all have the same access to the same grace, the same mercy, and the same faith. Look at me. I don't have a special line to God. I don't have a special conduit of grace and mercy and peace. I have people, they act like, oh, you're an evangelist. And so you have like the red phone. God really hears you when you pray. and you've got your own little, you get the little secret service in the back where if something's going bad in your life, you get a dispensary of grace and mercy and peace that the average person can't have because you're a preacher. That's garbage. We have a common faith in a common Savior, and that means all of this is accessible to us. Say, prove it. Okay, let's go back to our text. Look what it says. Grace, mercy, and peace, where? From God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. God is the source of grace, mercy, and peace. Now, it's interesting, grammatically, it reads a little bit different in the English, but when he says from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, it's referring to one and the same. God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Savior, is referring to the same person. Okay? Jesus is God. And what he's saying is look in verse 3, you see, it refers to as it being God, our Savior. Verse 4, it refers to Jesus as our Savior. Why? Because they're the same person. God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And therefore, it is in Him. Where do we go for it all? Where is that source of grace and mercy and peace that we need? How do we have access to it? Through our common faith in Jesus Christ. Now here's the reality for tomorrow morning. Today when you go home, tonight when you go to bed, and every day and as you live your Christian life, what is he saying to you? Paul is saying to Titus, this ought to be part of your life, permeating, infiltrating, overwhelming, saturating your Christian life, grace, mercy, and peace. Where? From God, our Savior. From Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's our source. Here's the problem. Where are you? Let me ask you this. Where are you looking for grace? Where are you looking for mercy? Where are you looking for peace? Because if you're going to any other source than Jesus Christ, you're going to be, it's a fail because it's the wrong source. All the grace, all the mercy, all the peace that you need is found in Jesus Christ, and it's only possible through faith in Him, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. This are some of the foundational truths of this book that he is going to be building on for the rest of the book as it helps this church to understand. And it begins personally because churches are made up of people and it's each individual's personal relationship with Christ. And every member of a church, every believer needs, in order for a church to function right, needs God's grace and God's mercy and God's peace at work in their individual life. And it only comes from the same source, and it's through Jesus Christ. I don't know what you need, but I can tell you where to get it. Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Can we take just a few minutes, maybe not even a minute, just a quiet before the Lord? Would you ask God for grace, mercy, and peace? I don't know what you need, but boy, He's aware of it. Would you humble your heart and say, God, I need grace? And maybe admit to Him you've been looking to the wrong source for grace or mercy and peace. Maybe you need peace. Maybe you need some grace. Maybe it's that refreshing, that mercy, that forgiveness that you need. I don't know your need, but God does. But remember that Christ is our source. And we all have the same access to the same source of grace, mercy, and peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's go to Him and ask Him for that grace, that mercy, and that peace. Father, we thank You for this truth. Father, I thank You that You, in Your time, that You have manifested Your Word through preaching, the proclamation of the gospel, Your power to those who believe, Lord, that sinful man can have a relationship with You, their sins forgiven all through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You that all the grace, the mercy, and the peace that we need in this struggling, troubled world that we live in, we all have the same access to the same source because of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, doesn't have a real personal relationship with You, that You would help them, Lord, to see their need and draw them to Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Brian in just a second, but look this way, please, just for a moment, if you would. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, what I said today might not make any sense to you. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm not talking about being a member of a church. I'm not talking about your good works. I'm not talking about anybody praying over you, sprinkling you, blowing smoke over you. I'm talking about a genuine, personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man. Not just a good man, God in the flesh, as His Word promised. Jesus Christ, our substitutionary death, the one who paid, He's the propitiation, the full satisfaction. The only thing Christ would accept, that God would accept for our sins, was the payment that Christ made on the cross. He rose from the dead. It's a reality. To reject any of those things, three things, is to reject the gospel. To reject any of those three things is to deny Christ. But you must believe, agree with God that what the Bible says about Jesus is true, and you must put your trust and faith in Him. He has to be the object of your faith. You must receive Him. If you don't have that confidence, would you speak to someone? I'd be happy to talk to you, but maybe you know somebody here better, if you're more comfortable. Talk to somebody. Get that settled. And if you are saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I hope that you'll understand how important it is that what God has given to us, what He's manifested, revealed to us through preaching, this message is an important message that is not only true for us, but the message we are given to give. And not only that, but grace, mercy. Now, I can't tell you how many times this just refreshes me, encourages me. I need grace, mercy, and peace. And every time you start getting discouraged, man, I know right where to go. I'll go right to the source. And through Christ, I have access to every bit of grace, every bit of mercy, and every bit of peace that I need. What a wonderful way to live the life that God has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Please be back tomorrow night. Hope you'll be back as we dig more. We're going to dig deeper into God's Word. We're digging deeper, and this is essential. I know you got things to do. I know you get tired. I know you'd rather sit, watch Wheel of Fortune, whatever it is. I don't know. Don't do that. Come get God's Word. We're not going to be here long. I don't preach long, okay? You got it? We're not going to be here all night. But what God has for you, I know, will be helpful to you if you'll come, listen, and obey. Brian, you come and close us out.